Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Fightful Wrestling Roundtable. All good things come in three, my friends. 3MB, 3-minute warning, 3 stages of hell,
ooh,
3 faces of Foley. Yeah, I could do this. ChatGPT is helping me out big time these days and all my work endeavors. And we are rolling 3D today. Alex Lajas is back after abandoning me last month. The greatest betrayal since Evolution dumped Randy Orton. But we're here. We're making it happen. And of course, the busiest man I've seen in the pro wrestling sphere since Sean Ross Sapp himself. I mean, one video a day is a slow day for Mr. Santi Zapp over here. Santi, how's it going, man? How are you alive?
I'm kicking. If I'm not dominating your FYP, then I'm not doing my job. So, but yeah, we're starting to slow down a little bit and we're trying to focus on life a little bit more because I've just been head down focusing on things.
Well, we've seen the payoff. Congratulations on your success, particularly as of late. We have so much to get to. So I want to get started. First things first, it was reported a little while back, but as of today, it's official. Jade Cargill signs a multi-year contract with the WWE. And I gotta say, it's interesting because I don't know if it's strictly a product of this TKO era that we're in, but not often is the WWE rolling out the red carpet, putting out a press release, breaking the news to ESPN. But Jade Cargill is getting the superstar treatment right off the bat. With Cody Rhodes, you could say, well, he was an alum who came back. And it's so interesting. I know a lot of fans in the sort of tribal era of pro wrestling want to either be pro AEW or pro WWE, but it seems like the WWE is really making an effort off the bat to make a big deal out of these. Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Shucks, Grandma. Oh, we should ask her about Jade Cargill. Bring her on.
That was like every single viral clip of a news anchor and their kid comes in.
That was adorable.
I locked the door when I started prepping for the show, and I forgot to lock it when I got some water. I need like a little on-air sign hanging on the side there. Shout out to my grandma, the matriarch of the family.
Bless her.
Talk about rolling out the red carpet. Guys, long-winded intro out of the way. How big of a deal was Jade Cargill signing by your estimation upon its first report? And how big of a deal is it now that you're seeing how WWE is just hitting the ground running with her? I'll start with you, Alex.
It's a huge deal from ESPN covering it. Now they've got the video of her going to the performance center. She survived the NXT parking lot. Good to see. And now they have photos of her like in the ring training. So like, this is a big deal. I know a lot of, like you mentioned, it's probably the biggest deal since Cody Rhodes, but in terms of like the general like women's division, this is probably the biggest deal since Ronda Rousey came to WWE.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a huge deal when Cody came, of course, but now that, you know, the rumors are true, she's in WWE. And the way that they're projecting this, like they are going to strap the rocket on her. I think the question is if she's going to go to the main roster or NXT. I don't know what I would want, because there is the tournament that's coming up in NXT, but in the main roster, I mean, she's main roster material. She's like larger than life figure already. I think this is the perfect opportunity for both the company and her to work together. But this is a huge deal. Like when the news dropped, it was like, okay, ESPN covered it. They announced it. It's on Twitter. Cool. But the fact that they're following her today through the PC and with her training, like they are really gonna, like I said, they're gonna strap the rocket on her. It's a huge deal.
Santi, how much of this do you think is the star potential that WWE sees in Jade and what they saw in Cody? And what part is okay, let me frame it this way. Sure. Does this say more about how much evidence the WWE can gauge when they have another promotion on national scale exhibiting wrestlers, or is this partly a play to show this talent over there that, hey, if you're not happy with your push, if you're not happy with the AEW booking, there's a legitimate chance for you to be a star in here?
You can I answer all of the above, because I do think that that's the case. My initial reaction when I saw the red carpet being filed out, I really thought of it as, hey, this is WWE showing AEW talent that has expiring contracts. And there's a lot of them in 2024, 2025 that, hey, you're not going to just necessarily be shoved in the performance center for a year and you're not going to be on TV for a really long time. We're going to, if you've got superstar potential in AEW, we're going to roll with that and we're going to treat you like a superstar in the WWE. A lot of people are throwing examples at me saying, hey, because I'm saying she should go to the main roster. And a lot of people are saying, hey, Finn Balor went to NXT. Nakamura went to NXT. No. The landscape has changed in North America. There is a lot more evidence for of how performers can, I guess, to use the word perform in front of a North American crowd, in front of multi-camera angle arenas, in front of thousands of people, as opposed to the unknowns that were at the time, you know, like New Japan and the independents. I think you can be a lot more confident to bring in somebody that's got years of experience in AEW and have them immediately succeed in the main roster.
It's so funny you mentioned that and Finn Balor in the same sentence, because I had a conversation with Finn once where he described it exactly as that. You know, he said for all the wealth of experience he had wrestling for New Japan and on the independent circuit, like the process of being a main roster WWE superstar is so different as a function of working to the cameras, of having to work in those commercial breaks. Like it's an entirely different format of wrestling.
100%. In fact, not to detract too much from the topic, but I actually think that's the reason why NXT today is a better farm system for the WWE than NXT Black and Gold ever was. Even though I think Black and Gold was a better wrestling product, I think NXT today has it in mind that we are training the wrestlers to learn how to work within the main roster environment, as opposed to just putting on like a hell of a wrestling show.
Yeah, I would agree. Like NXT now is more like the workshop, right? Where Black and Gold era, it was like guaranteed good wrestling product, which NXT now, it's not to say it's not, but I feel, and going to what Santi, what you were saying, like when Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura were signed to WWE, that was a completely different landscape to what wrestling is today. And so for them to go to NXT, it was like getting a little bit more familiar with them, right? Because not a lot of exposure. Not a lot of people were exposed to New Japan the way that they are now. And although AEW is like within the mainstream, especially in the Western culture of wrestling, there's still some people that may not know who Jade Cargill is. But again, like that's the thing about this huge announcement is, you know, you have to hype her up. I know that I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that they wanted to be more of a surprise, maybe like a Royal Rumble entrant. Maybe that will be the case, you know, maybe that will be the case where she'll rock and roll in NXT for a while. Maybe she'll go to the Royal Rumble. Who knows? But I mean, you know, I think that's what needs to happen is they need to hype her up. And like you said, like NXT is just a completely different landscape as what it is, as what it was before. So to actually produce it as, you know, we're working on these individuals, but right now, like, they're shining bright. I mean, look at Tiffany Stratton right now, you know, like she's come a long way.
You know, and I don't know if WWE wants to wait 4 months before, you know, pulling the trigger on Jade Cargill's debut, but there's no reason that you can't, in a reasonable timeline, like build her up through vignettes, through online social media, and save the first appearance for a big moment, whether that's part of a Survivor Series tag team or the Royal Rumble. So I think there's a way to do both. You don't need to push her right in there. Before we move on, guys, I'm curious. Now let's put the NXT conversation to the side for a second and zero in on this. I would like your theories. If Jade Cargill were to debut on the main roster in the next 30 days, what's sort of the first storyline or opponent that you think WWE could match with her? And guys, if you'd like to leave a super chat donation, $1, $1,000, you know, it doesn't go into my pockets, but it supports the program. Please do. We'd love to hear your sort of fantasy booking on Jade or anything else you want to talk about. Alex, Santi, whoever might have the first idea, I'll let you go for it.
Have at it, Alex. Seems like I heard there's, the sigh.
There's so many women. Yeah. There's like so many dream matches. And that's what's exciting about Jade Cargill coming to WWE. Like there's a plethora of amazing feuds. I mean, you have Rhea Ripley. She has the title. Do you want Jade to go after a title already? If she's going to go to NXT, Becky Lynch is, you know, the women's NXT champion. Do we put her straight to, you know, against Becky Lynch? And that's the thing is that they have to acknowledge her streak, right? Like, if there's a mention of AEW, like, they have to acknowledge how much of a big streak she had at that other company. So I said this on Twitter. I really, this is something that'll probably happen at the Royal Rumble. I know you said like 30 days, but it's like there's so much happening in the women's division where
don't let me stifle your creativity.
You're right.
Here.
You're right. I want to see at some point at a Royal Rumble moment, I need to see Beth Phoenix versus Jade Cargill. I need to see that face off. I want it so bad. Yeah, but I mean, I think the obvious answer is going to be her versus Charlotte eventually, maybe leading into WrestleMania next year.
I think to me, the writing is on the wall that they're setting up Nia Jax to be this indestructible monster, the monster that no one can stop, not like putting out Rhea Ripley for injury. Everybody's getting not real injuries, just to clarify, storyline injuries in case people start, you know, jumping on that. But I think they're setting up Nia Jax to be the big bad guy of the women's division. And to have Jade Cargill immediately take out the big bad guy, I think that's a great way to put that rocket ship on her and put her into the stratosphere. A lot of people, whether it's storyline or for real reasons, don't like Nia Jax. So to have Jade Cargill take out Nia Jax, beat her, gorilla press her, something that would immediately catapult her as one of not just the biggest baby faces in the women's division, biggest baby faces in all of WWE.
Okay. How long do you think that, Jade Cargill can hoist Nia Jax up for the military press?
If it's anything over 2 seconds, that's a moment. That is a moment.
Yeah.
Alex, do you see it happening 2 seconds?
I see it happening more than 2 seconds for sure.
Nice.
I think the real question is, what's going to be the first cosplay gear? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know.
It's an interesting time for the, I feel like there's this sort of newfound focus on, like, we have like a lot of powerhouses in the women's division, and it's very cool to see Rhea Ripley, Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax, Jade Cargill's in the mix. You know, Bianca Belair is just like a supreme athlete. I'm gonna throw a curveball. I know that Jade Cargill should be presented as a bit of a solo act, but Bianca Belair was sort of starting to drift into like heel territory before her break, at least some sort of, you know, anti-hero role. I wonder what sort, in light of like the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, I feel like there could be some cool chemistry between Jade and Bianca. I do see them primarily as opponents down the line. But I don't know. I feel like there could be something fun to explore.
Hey, Bobby did say, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to find somebody who will. In the last episode of SmackDown, you never know.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. All right, guys. Let's move on to topic number two. And guys, if you followed Santi, Alex, or myself over here, please give Fightful a follow. All the great work they do on YouTube, Twitter, and beyond. You know, WWE traditionally has not been too kind to twins. at least when it comes to sort of separating them as individuals. Even when they're not really related. Shout out to the Doug Basham, who I've been watching over on the Netflix Wrestlers documentary. It is so refreshing to see the WWE commit to giving both Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso singles runs. And I think that only really happens if you give them separate brands to exist on. My question for you, I'm by no means trying to diminish either of their performances. Who do you think, since Jey went over to Raw, has stood out more to you as a solo performer, Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso? And Santi, I'll start with you.
I think Jimmy, like just in terms of accomplishments, I think they've been a lot more direct and with intent with Jimmy Uso as opposed to Jey Uso. I think the Jey Uso storyline has been more of a slow burn in like this redemption storyline, while the Jimmy storyline is immediately debut new entrance theme, face-to-face with John Cena, take out John Cena, match with John Cena. I think they're being very, very direct and very fast with Jimmy Uso to build him up as one of the top heels on Friday Night SmackDown, as opposed to the Jey Uso storyline, which admittedly, I think it's a good idea to go slower. And I think the payoff ultimately for the Jey storyline is going to be bigger. But right now, Jimmy.
All right, Alex.
I agree. I think it's Jimmy. Like Santi said, I mean, like at SmackDown, he's going against John Cena, AJ Styles. You know, I think that that is the path for Jimmy right now with Jey Uso. I mean, I prefer Jey Uso's theme song a little more than Jimmy Uso, I will say. Yeah, I mean, like, he's got the whole crowd behind him, you know, and they're calling him main event Jey Uso. I mean, you don't call somebody that for nothing. But there just needs to be a little bit more under Jey Uso for me. I mean, it's good to see him, you know, align himself with Cody. Maybe he'll help him finish the story. Who knows? But for me, it has to be Jimmy. Like, again, this just needs to be a little bit more spice behind Jey Uso. But I see that they're working on it.
Yeah, what I will say, what's interesting is that the Jey Uso storyline and Jey Uso's presence gives us like a more interesting dynamic of people around him. Like, we look at Drew McIntyre and the storyline that's being built around Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, more so than Jimmy. I think Jimmy very much only impacts whatever he's directly on screen with, as opposed to Jey Uso, I think, has a greater impact on the entirety of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things that, maybe I'm being biased, but I notice sort of emerging more in WWE's execution of the TV product since Triple H sort of stepped up in the creative role, is tying a storyline through the entirety of the program. It's not just, hey, we're going to open the show, someone's going to interrupt you, and that's the main event. I mean, it still happens like 9 times out of 10 on Raw, but at least covering SmackDown, the locker room feels more alive. There's this bad habit in professional wrestling where it's like when you're locked in to a storyline with someone else, no one exists. It's as if the rest of the locker room vanishes when it comes time for you two to beef. But these days, there's always something happening in the background. Or when you just look at the SmackDown side of things, for example, the storyline started with Jimmy Uso and John Cena being teased, and then it kind of moved on to AJ Styles versus Jimmy Uso. Now you're seeing sort of the Bloodline reunion. The OC is getting wrapped in it a bit. LA Knight, through his association with John Cena at Payback, is rumored to be getting involved. I love how alive the locker room is feeling. I agree with both of you. There is one caveat, though, which is the direction of Jimmy Uso's character. I think he has done a terrific job with what's been handed to him. Really, everyone in that family has. I'm still trying to gauge what his character is supposed to be right now. And I'm not sure if it's intentional or if the WWE hasn't quite settled on it, because it seemed like he was going to break out on his own at the conclusion of... okay, let me say this. We went from him betraying Jey Uso in an attempt to protect him. Whether or not you believe those intentions to be true is up to the viewer. And I understand Jey Uso not forgiving him and leaving for Raw puts Jimmy Uso in a vulnerable position where he feels abandoned, alone, and he needs his family. I kind of get that scared angle. But from week to week, I'm having trouble telling, is he groveling? Is he undermining Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns when he starts booking pay-per-view matches for himself without their condition? Is he trying to get back into the Bloodline or not? And maybe there's a payoff down the line, but I'm trying to figure out if Jimmy Uso has confidence, if he's a bit of a loser who can't stand on his own two feet. I just want some clarity on what his character is supposed to be right now. And maybe we're headed there. But I'm a little worried that the WWE hasn't quite figured out who they want Jimmy Uso to be.
I think Jimmy Uso is Delulu. That's what I think he is. I think he's Delulu, where it's like he has the confidence, but he's still under that Bloodline cult.
Stockholm mindset. Syndrome.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Santi. Yeah, like a Stockholm Syndrome. That's how I see Jimmy as right now. Like, I think he's still Stockholm Syndrome. And, like, Jey Uso has, like, you know, snapped out of it, and Jimmy's still in it. So I agree with you. I see what you're saying, but I also just see the element of still the Bloodline and the Stockholm Syndrome and the cult and everything like that. And maybe that's just something more will play out with Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns was... advertised to come back to SmackDown later in October, right? So maybe something will happen there. I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting for Roman.
Just very quick. I can't help but wonder if John Cena's sort of extended run with the WWE right now is in part, not entirely, but in part due to the recent merger and attempt to get as many eyeballs and make as many headlines as possible. But I gotta say, John had a bit of a reputation back in the day after how the Nexus was just obliterated at his hands and his hands alone. But man, has he been so giving during this run, giving LA Knight the rub with, you know, raising his hand after the match with The Miz, being in a program with Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso, possibly bringing LA Knight for the ride, letting Grayson Waller just dig into him. Like, there's so much that John Cena has done in a short period of time to sort of elevate the people around him. And it's very nice to see, because I can't remember the last time where WWE has had so many, like, upper mid-carders and main eventers in their roster. It feels like maybe a year ago that we were complaining that there's no one to challenge Roman Reigns. And between the Judgment Day, Jey Uso, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, all the way down to everyone who's kind of benefited from Gunther's incredible intercontinental title streak, there's a lot of good hands. Like, you can really fill out a show right now with people, with this raw superstars that the fans are invested in. That's a very good sign.
Yeah. Didn't John Cena at WrestleMania, didn't Austin Theory win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Cena does business, you know, yeah. He does business well.
What I will say is right now with Cena, I've been calling it Cena see, Cena do. I think he's seeing cool things that are happening on SmackDown, cool up and comers. And he's just saying, can I work with them? I think I like to do a segment with them because it doesn't feel like it's like corporately written. It just feels like Cena's like, hey, let's go out there and let's do something cool, because he's just picking this hodgepodge of different people. Like, it's been, like you mentioned, like six different people that he's worked with over the last 4 weeks alone. And it's so refreshing to see that. It just feels like he's seeing something that he likes and he wants to work with it.
Yeah, he's like, you get a moment, you get a moment, you get a moment with me, you get a moment with me. So I love it.
Well, last thing on the Usos before we move on. When do you guys think we revisit Jey Uso's ties to the Bloodline? Like, do we leave that be for a long time and just see how much these guys can kind of establish themselves separate to the storyline with Roman Reigns? Or is this something you'd like to see, like, the loose ends tied up on in the near future?
Doesn't sound like it's going to be near future. I think it's going to be a WrestleMania match. I think that's the only time that we can really pay that off. I think that's the payoff for both of them. And the only way to get to that moment is to separate them and allow them to become major stars in their own right, to really make it feel super special at WrestleMania. Because if they go on to become superstars in their own right, I'm not saying that it would be, but I like to use this example of, it's worthy of the night one main event WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that it's going to be, but it's worthy. If they can do that, if they can build themselves up to that point, I think it's got to be WrestleMania. I don't think we can have this anywhere else.
I agree. Yeah. I think it should be at WrestleMania. I want them to bring back the one storyline that they did with the Bellas. Like, I wish you would have died in the womb. That would be great. I would love it.
Will the mullet alone be and the crop shirt be enough to distinguish Jimmy from Jay when you're bringing in?
Well, now we have the hand motions.
We have the hand motions. Maybe we can get a little dangly earring in the mix too.
All right, guys. Before we move on, we do got to keep the lights on around here. So if I can pull it up in a reasonable time as I stumble my way through this, let's go to Sean Ross Sapp, who's protecting me and all of you. Filthy, filthy people from the things that you are searching in your free time.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Block online trackers, annoying pop-up ads. Unlock geo-blocked content. Maybe you miss the WWE Network. Maybe you want that AEW+. Maybe you want to subscribe to overseas services so you can get UFC pay-per-views at a reduced rate. Well, NordVPN.com/Fightful allows you to do that. And you can do it with 4 months for free with that link. Not only that, you get your 30-day money-back guarantee as well, just in case you don't like it for any reason. It works on all of your devices, so you can do this stuff wherever you are. Maybe you're on that unsecured Wi-Fi at the airport, the hotel. Yeah, it can be dangerous. Your info is at risk, but you can still gain access to all that stuff. Check out all of your favorite shows, or maybe shows you haven't discovered before, with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Now with multiple tiers, so you can get whatever services that you want. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Shout out to Sean Ross Sapp. I see Santi downloading NordVPN as we speak.
Cars got to stay safe.
Hey, man, better use that code Fightful, you know. with all that traffic you're doing on YouTube, you can afford a little bit of a... Check out Mr. Santi Sapp on YouTube. Okay, guys. Man, unfortunate news. Sorry to have a tonal... This is a worse tonal shift than when I went from laughing with The Undertaker to asking him about Scott Hall's passing. I messed that one up, but he was a good sport about it. We were having such a great time laughing. Like, hey, by the way, I know Hulk Hogan's motorcycle, when he stole your motorcycle and I wouldn't go up the ramp. How about that Scott Hall guy? That was rough, but you know, Taker's a gentleman. He made it work with me. Great, honestly, great interview. Not my best moment, but listen, sometimes botches happen. You gotta get it together. The show must go on. Listen, there are a lot of WWE releases. It sucks. You're just spending all day waiting to hear who's getting cut. Some names we probably expected, others that maybe caught us by surprise. Let me start this by saying, I have zero interest in seeing anyone go to AEW, and that is not indicative of the talent at hand. It's that I feel like AEW is regaining a rhythm of constantly promoting and pushing certain talent and building storylines around them And as it stands, there are people on that roster who I think should be featured more, who can't, as a consequence of how bloated that roster is. That being said, I feel like they could do with a good pop. Tell me Dolph Ziggler to AEW wouldn't be a great pop for the diehards.
Oof. Oof. The dream matches. The dream matches, though. That's what we want to sink our teeth into. Like just a Dolph Ziggler versus a Kenny Omega. Ooh.
Santi, is that potential great enough for you to want to see Tony Khan pull the trigger, both financially and in terms of, you know, you give Dolph that spot, you got to push someone off TV.
Well, that's the problem, right? Like it's addition. In one place, you got to subtract somewhere, you know, the law of equivalent exchange, if we want to call it that. And I'm kind of with you. I like the direction that AEW is going in right now. I think that finally Collision post CM Punk is starting to have its own identity with its own group of guys and girls over there. And Dynamite has always been great. Dynamite is Dynamite. And I look at the people that are at the top of the card, middle of the card, both men and women, and I like what I see. I like that, for example, a Swerve Strickland is getting a match at WrestleDream versus one of those top guys in AEW. If we were to bring, you know, like you said, a whole host of new ex-WWE guys in there, somebody is going to be a casualty of that. And I like where AEW is right now. And I don't know that, you know, that these guys would necessarily flourish just in AEW. There's other places where they could hone their craft, like Impact Japan, etc. But I just like where AEW is right now.
Yeah,
Alex,
I agree. I like where AEW is right now. I feel like you guys said, like they're just getting into their rhythm after, you know, losing CM Punk. I think that was a big skin to shed off of that. That's a whole different story. But for me, like, I like where AEW is right now. They're getting their flow, especially with Collision. I love Collision. I love the production of Collision. I love the names that I see in Collision. And I think with the new releases, like, there's more wrestling promotions other than AEW. Like, for instance, I want to see Shelton Benjamin back in New Japan. Yeah, I would love to see that. Maybe even Noah. Like Emma going back to Impact would be great. Dana Brooke going into Impact. I have one hot take. I would love to see Dolph Ziggler have his own reality show. Because he was amazing in Total Divas. And even in Miz
and
Mrs.
You are the expert on.
I am. I am the expert. Twitch.tv/Queen of the Ring if you want to know more. But I would love that. There's so much more for these people outside of AEW, even outside of wrestling too. Like Mandy Rose has been saying she's been making some bank in OnlyFans, and I think Dana Brooke was teasing that she might start an OnlyFans, but like even that, there's so much more to wrestling. Yeah, I would love to see them continue their wrestling careers, but I would also like to see them happy.
Yeah, Mason Mansoor crushing it on Twitch over the last couple of days. So there are a lot of avenues, you know, aside from immediately jumping into, you know, into AEW come January 1st.
Yeah. Santi, are you keeping the OnlyFans pathway clear for yourself or as your popularity continues to grow?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm everywhere, so I might as well. You know, I might put my feet in there. You know, I was about to say.
That's a lot. There's a lot, know, of been, money in it. A
lot of demand. You know, people, because I have a Patreon, patreon.com/Santi's app. I'm like, where are the feet pictures? Like, nah, man, not yet. I haven't gotten that down bad yet. But yeah, when I do, feet pics.
Yeah, I hear if you like squish them into something, you can charge primos, like cakes.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, just like crush a bunch of fruits. Yeah. Call it only fruits.
Okay, we got it.
With your thighs, hell yeah. That's the real moneymaker right there.
Listen, you started like, a sponsor.
But even speaking, Rick Boogs, man, if he started OnlyFans just crushing things with his thighs, I would sign.
I'd be booging out to that.
You know what? There's probably an underserved demographic of women in pro wrestling fandom who could do with some like Rick Boogs OnlyFans. So if Rick, if you're out there, just keep that in mind.
Drop the
link. I don't even remember what we're talking about. Oh yes. Guys, this is a really good opportunity. I do think if it's true that Edge might be AEW bound, and we know Mercedes Moné was recently spotted over there at Forbidden Door. I think it's better served to sort of save the money and the sort of viral moments for superstars of that ilk. Now, I don't know what Impact's finances are like. You know, I know they bank a lot on like tape shows and stuff like that, but if there is an investor that believes in Impact or any other promotion, maybe New Japan, there is an opportunity to bring in some people with legitimate name value. And you know, your mileage will vary on how much of a draw CM Punk was for AEW. Now, maybe in like merchandise sales or live tickets, it did great. He wasn't the biggest needle mover on television. Like, we didn't see an enormous company changing, pendulum swinging sort of ratings boost. And I think the promotion has shown that they can sort of endure without him. But I wonder if the money is there and if a compromise is there for some of these superstars who are used to being paid WWE salaries. Imagine if somewhere like Impact could snag CM Punk, Dolph Ziggler, maybe one or two other names. And you're looking at the biggest stars to enter that promotion since, you know, peak era TNA yeah. Impact.
Well, you know, you mentioned that he wasn't necessarily the biggest needle mover, but an Impact, he would be a tremendous exactly. needle mover. Mm-hmm. If we're comparing relativity between AEW and Impact, yes. CM Punk and Impact would be a massive needle mover. I myself, you know, I watch Impact maybe once a month when I can, when it makes sense, when there's a big show, Impact 1000, for example. But if CM Punk gets announced for, I'm there. And I know a lot of wrestling fans that have been, you know, 5, 6, 7 years removed from watching TNA Impact would also tune in. I think he'd be a tremendous needle mover there.
Was there anything better than like peak 2005 to 2008 TNA Impact?
It's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Like anytime I hear Jeff Jarrett's theme, it still gives me PTSD. Yeah, because every he would somehow win every time.
How is that man in better shape in his like
50s
than I've ever been in my life?
That's an era of wrestling I need to get into. I kind of I miss that era.
It was like my formative years. That went from like, you know, you grow up watching WWE, it's just the thing, to understanding that there's a cooler world out there. It's kind of like
I got it through an illegal antenna from that were like very popular, like illegal dish back that were really popular in the 2000s. And so I never watched weekly TNA. I only ever watched their pay-per-views and they were rad.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, I'm just dealing with some crazy folks in the super chat here because the mods be slacking, but it's okay. I'm here. I'm doing my thing. All right, on that note, so we mentioned, I think primarily, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin. Are there any other superstars from these recent cuts that you see a good home for somewhere in the pro wrestling sphere?
I'll jump in. There's AJ Francis, Top Dollar. He's been doing a fantastic job on Twitter of getting attention for himself, and it's giving me Matt Cardona vibes, like in terms of his ability to get eyeballs on himself without the help of anybody else. So I could see, you know, with the effort that he's putting in his social media, I could see AJ Francis, Top Dollar, you know, popping up on in the independent circuit and making a name for himself.
I do think Mason Mansoor's like cleaner gimmick would actually be a very good fit for Impact Wrestling. And it's one of the more, like, you know, I feel like the CM Punk Dolph Ziggler thing might be a bit of a pipe dream, but relative to that, I feel like Mason Mansoor could pop onto Impact Wrestling with a new gimmick tomorrow and people would be into it.
We haven't talked Riddle. What about Riddle?
I can't imagine after the CM Punk thing that AEW is keen to take on someone that has developed the reputation that Riddle has in WWE. I think Impact would immediately jump on that. I think he'd be a really interesting fit in New Japan. I think he has a style that works with their product, as well as, you know, when they have like the Gaijin wrestlers go over there, he's kind of got this like, I'm not too familiar with anyone with like kind of like a stoner surfboardy vibe gimmick like Matt Riddle over in Japan, so I feel like he could be sort of a refreshing coat of paint on the American wrestler going over to New Japan. But I don't think AEW is touching him.
But also, like, Mustafa Ali would be great anywhere. Like, even in the indies, like, him going to, like, Prestige Wrestling, I could definitely see. Him and Impact would be amazing. I mean, hell, is he, like, qualified to be in, like, the Super Juniors, maybe? Like, that kind of tournament? Shit. Yeah, it would be amazing.
I would love... He had so many ideas that WWE sort of tinkered with, whether it was the political gimmick that he kind of had a vignette for in NXT that reportedly rubbed Fox the wrong way, or the stuff that he was doing with Retribution before WWE absolutely butchered it. I would love to see more character work from him. Mm-hmm. And maybe New Japan is a good place for that. Maybe Impact would be a good place for that. I feel like, you know, him, Mansoor, and Mace could even... I feel like the gimmicks that Mustafa Ali was working towards and the cleaner gimmick as sort of like the enforcers could maybe work hand in hand. But, you know, in ring, there are a few doing it at the level that Ali is today.
Yeah, I think I really, the number one thing I need to know is which record label is going to sign Elias. Because I want to walk with him.
I legitimately felt bad about that one, because that was the sort of gimmick that was so WWE to a T. And it's one of the ones where it's going to, you know, eventually fans are going to get in on the joke and it's going to elevate the superstar. But I don't see that kind of gimmick working in a non-WWE product.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I remember WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. He played at a bar and, like, Bourbon Street was packed. That specific area where I forget the name of the bar, it was, like, so packed with Elias. I mean, he was so over. Like, yeah, that's a gimmick that would only happen in WWE. At least it would be strong in WWE. Maybe Impact with all, like, the vignettes that they do, but, yeah, I could definitely see that.
You know, I saw there was some reported interest from MMA organizations to acquire Matt Riddle services, and it's not going to be the WWE. I mean, him and Dana White have an awful relationship. If I were Matt Riddle, I don't know that I would encourage that. He's 37 years old. He was actually a very solid UFC-level prospect in his time, and he's got like an 8-3 record, but I think he got busted for weed a few times and that turned some of his wins to no contest. He was actually very good, but that game has evolved so quickly. The PFL, who's sort of making a run at acquiring whatever talent they can outside the UFC, could probably afford him. They run like million-dollar tournaments and stuff, but he is not fighting anyone. He is not beating anyone worth a damn in MMA these days. So if you can like leverage his name value with some like weird, you know, other pro wrestlers who want to try MMA, like it's a freak show kind of thing. But Matt Riddle is not making a serious impact in MMA at this point, so I don't know about that one.
Would you be interested if he stepped foot into influencer boxing? Like how we saw Johnny Nitro?
Oh, God. You know what? I mean, sure. For the morbid curiosity of it,
why it is morbid curiosity, yeah.
For all the flying knees and stuff that he throws in WWE, he was primarily a wrestler. So I am curious how well that would translate. But man, like, you know, Johnny's been doing his like independent thing for so long that it kind of fit the bill. Listen, far be it for me to tell someone not to chase the bag. Santi, you know, I will give you my generous $10 whenever you start crushing things with your thighs and feet.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know that. I'll pay for one. I'll buy your subscription. I'll pay for your subscription.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You could be in the part. Yeah, and Santi could be in the 6.9% top creators.
There you go. I don't know, man. Wouldn't that feel like such a fall from grace reputationally?
Massive.
To WWE to influencer boxing, right?
Massive.
Off,
yeah. Like, unless it's Jake Paul, you know, at the very, like, if it's Jake Paul, then I don't think that that's a fall from grace. I think there's enough names that have been in there, you know, the Tommy Furies of the world. And, sorry, go ahead, jump in. Oh, I thought you were like raising your hand. You wanted to jump in. Yeah. No, I think like that wouldn't necessarily be a fall from grace. It's probably be a giant giant ass payday. So go for it. If it ends up being Jake Paul or something like that.
Got a super jet donation from Daniel here. All right, Steve, guess the wrestler. 60 seconds go. He's going to need a lot more than 60 seconds. Santi, do you have a particular strategy when it comes to those guess the wrestler clips?
Oh, yeah. It's much easier. I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes he just throws things at the wall in hopes to land on something, but I've got strategies.
You won't reveal your magic.
Of course not. Never. Never.
No. Alex, you want to take your hand at it? I can get Santi to come up with a name real quick for you.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
You're going to do it. Whenever you're
ready. So am I guessing or is she guessing?
No, she is guessing.
Okay, you're guessing. Okay, all right. All right, Alex, guess the wrestler. 60 seconds. I don't have a clock.
I got it.
Okay. Go.
Jade Cargill.
No. No, that's right though. Good.
Okay. I have to guess a question. Like ask a question. Okay.
Yeah, ask questions.
Male or female?
Male.
Male. World champion at some point in WWE?
Yes.
WWE?
Yes.
Within the last 10 years?
No.
Shawn Michaels.
No.
Gosh, you're seeing such a Steve right now.
Bret Hart.
Nope.
Was in the 90s though?
Yes.
Okay.
Were they ever in WCW?
Yes.
There you go. I'll see one for me to help you.
Oh my god, this is hard. Ooh, when you're
did
on
they
the
make
spot.
Their name primarily in WCW or WWE?
WWE. That was a good question. Are they active or are they not active? Are they alive?
Are they alive?
Yes.
Are they active? Obviously.
Yes.
Not. Are
yes.
they? Oh.
We've gone so over time.
Jeff
really
Jarrett.
This.
No.
Yeah, dude, just give her the
answer. It's Chris Jericho.
Oh, that guy. All right.
Yeah, that one guy.
So bad. Well,
I'm a Quizzlemania winner. Oh, I've lost my touch.
Santi, we got to get you. Not that I have any leverage there, but. Someone get Santi on Quizzlemania.
I'll go on Quizzlemania. I'll show him up.
Yeah, just go. Fly out to the UK. There you go.
All right, easy.
We are at about time for today. I want to give all of you lovely people the chance to sort of plug away your YouTube channels, your Twitches, your OnlyFans, whatever you got. Alex, you're up to bat.
Oh, I do not have an OnlyFans. Before anyone DMs me about feet pics, I don't have an OnlyFans.
Have you ever gotten a DM about feet pics?
That's like literally every day for me.
It's an untapped market.
So you can, if you want more of this beautiful face, you can follow me on twitch.tv/queenoftheRing there. You can follow me over on the Twitter, right there. If you're watching, but if you're listening, it's at Queen of the Ring with 2 G's. I also cover Joshi Wrestling, Stardom, and TJPW is hot right now, especially with the 5-Star Grand Prix finals coming up this week. So you can follow Church of Joshi on Twitter and Instagram, and also twitch.tv/Church of Joshi. That's where you can find me.
Santi.
twitch.tv/SantiZap, streaming there 5 days a week. If you want some friends to watch Monday Night Raw with or Friday Night SmackDown, definitely come hang out. Daily YouTube videos on youtube.com/ I don't know, is it a slash? I don't even know how, like,
youtube.com/@
right? Yeah. Mr. Yeah. SantiZap. You'll also find our weekly podcast there, Wrestling is Cool, that I do with Fortnite legend Sancho West Gaming, in case you're interested. And of course, over on TikTok at Mr. SantiZap.
All right, guys, you can find me over at Shaq MMA, Shaq Wrestling, whatever your cup of tea is. Sorry, we're still trying to get the wrestling stuff back up at a consistent rate, but there's a great back catalog. You want to go see me flub an interview with the legendary Taker? It's there for you. You want to see me talk about cults with Malachi Black? I got you. Whatever you need, it's there. It's there to be happened. It's there to be consumed. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Give Fightful a subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you to Sean Ross Sapp for everything he does over here for Shaq, Alex, Santi, all face, no feet for now. Enjoy all the wrestling craziness we'll talk soon.
Bye, buddy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.